Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Hi, welcome again to How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight's a legal topics episode, and we're going to be looking at all the different types of mortgage loans one could have. And here, as always, is our host, Robert Howe.
Well, thank you, Jason, and welcome everyone to How's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyear Bay in Norway to Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. And as Jason mentioned, tonight is our legal topic show. We're going to talk a little bit about the variety of loans that are out there that a homeowner, a potential homeowner, may want to look at in order to purchase their home. So, Jason, why don't you tell me a little bit about what you think is out there, and I'll try to explain it.
Well, I always just focused on the conventional mortgage loan, and unless I'm going for a small business loan, I would assume that the majority of people deal with just a homeowner's loan or a home loan or what have you. The loan that I would often hear about and always would be intrigued by was the only other loan I've ever really heard with any regularity is a jumbo loan. So other than that, I really didn't think there were that many distinctions for a home loan or a property loan for a property mortgage. So, but apparently upon looking into it, there's quite a few.
Well, there are a handful, yes, you're right. And I hate to say, but decades ago, and I'm familiar with what happened decades ago, there was probably only one type of loan. Well, let's not even say my decades. Let's say our parents' decades. There was really just one type of loan out there. You put 20% down on a property, you got 80% financing, and you just paid it off after 30 years, and you heard the term mortgage burning parties, where you would take your mortgage and the bank would return the papers to you after you paid off the loan, and you'd have a little party and burn the paperwork in the backyard. So those were the mortgage burning parties, and those were the conventional types of mortgage. Go to the bank. Do you make enough money to repay the loan? Here, do you have 20%? Put it down. Bank comes along with 80%, and 30 years in the future, you know, you own your home free and clear. Of course, things get more complicated as life goes on, and finances get a little faster and looser and a little more involved. And that 20% conventional concept may have given way to, well, if 20% works, let's see, maybe the homeowner only has to give 15% or so. And then maybe the homeowner has to only give 10%. We'll give you 90%. And the banks, unlike the rigidity, you know, when earlier when you got your 20% conventional loan, banks started maybe to ease up on lending requirements also. And if you could put down 10% and you make some money, well, then we'll give you the loan also. The bank will be in for 90%. You'll be in for 10%. Then it kind of whittled its way down to an area where, well, if 10% worked, it doesn't seem so bad. Maybe we can take a chance with trying to get more people in to buy homes. Let's just have them pay 5% down, and we'll give them 95%. And I think you can see where this story is going, Jason. It ended up at a point where not only were people buying a house, not putting money down, but they were walking away with money. And banks were lending like 106% to people. And as that loosened up, you know, the down payment loosened up, or actually didn't loosen up, went away. Also, the financial requirements were relaxed. The income requirements were relaxed or done away with. And many times you would just joke that so long as your borrower has a heartbeat, you will probably end up getting a loan. And they had no income verification loans. Whereas years ago when you went to the bank and they wanted income verification, they want to know that you had a job, how long you had the job for. They want to see your W-2s. They want to see all your earnings over a period of time. That gave way to, you have a heartbeat, you're telling me you have a job, you're telling me that you make X amount of dollars, you don't have to show me, don't worry about that, just tell me what you make. I think you have to make a little more, the lender may say, and the borrower will say, oh yeah, well I do kind of make a little more than that. I don't know why I told you the lower number, but I do make exactly the number you need in order to make that loan, and they would end up literally with a 106% loan and walk out the door, you know, with money and a house. Of course, 2007 came along, and all of that, you know, that house of cards, so to speak, you know, collapsed. And we're now kind of back to the typical, you know, put 20% down, show me all of your income, and we'll give you a loan. So things tightened up again. So those are pretty much those. That's the story of the conventional mortgage. You put down a substantial deposit, you get a loan for the balance, you're paying it off for 30 years, and that's the end of it. Well, they also then decided, well, another variation of the loan might be an adjustable rate loan. Here you would say to the bank, or the bank would say to you, look, we'll give you a loan, we'll start you out at a low percentage rate, and something you can afford because you're starting out. You'll have a lot of expenses. You buy your house, you know, not much equity, and then you'll be building equity and can refinance sometime in the future. And we will adjust your loan anywhere from every year to every 3 years to every 5 years, whatever, you know, product that we're offering, those were adjustable. And, you know, so they start a person out maybe with a come-on loan of 1%, 2%, something like that, and then they'd start bumping them up, you know, where they'd end up with like the 5, 6, 7%. And Jason, tell me what you think happened as a result of that strategy around the year 2007.
Oh, people probably unable to pay those, make those payments, and I'm sure that the banks probably wanted to get those payments very quickly.
Yes, and they foreclosed on a lot of properties because people said, you know, if the bank was giving me 1%, you know, 5 years ago, I could live with that. But now it's 7%. It's almost, you know, doubled or tripled my payment. I can't pay this anymore. And so that wasn't, you know, a very good strategy. But that was what was called adjustable rates. And they still have adjustable rates now. And they do serve a purpose. You do get a slightly lower rate for a period of time, usually a relatively substantial period of time, say 5 years, so that, you know, if you can kind of look into the future and see what's going on with rates while you're still in your third or fourth year and decide what you want to do. Adjustable rates also work if you're going to be a short-term owner, if you only plan on being in a community for, you know, 5 years or so. Why not take advantage of the adjustable rate? If, however, you find that the house you're buying is the type of house that you've always wanted and will stay there, you know, for the next 50 years, well, adjustable rates might not be, you know, what you want. You won't be able to have any clarity with regard to, you know, what your future bills are going to be. And
now,
then,
on an adjustable,
go ahead.
On an adjustable rate loan, if something happens with the interest rates, let's say the interest rates take a sharp decline or even a small, do they adjust it down? Do they mirror, if the interest rates go down? Do they say, well, we're going to lower your interest rate because the interest rates have gone down?
I guess theoretically they could, because they do say that your interest rate will be pegged to some sort of an index, like a Treasury bill or the LIBOR, which I think is the London Interbank Overnight Rate, some cryptic. They have other cryptic indices that you'd probably have to dig into page 32 or 33 of the Wall Street Journal to find what the index is, and then they to that index they supply an equally unintelligible calculation to figure out what your rate is. And once you make all those multiplication and additions and subtractions, then they say something like plus 1%. So that's how they adjust. We really haven't seen rates going down. I think most loans probably would stay the same. I think they would stay the same or go up. Don't know if they would actually go down. So I don't think you're going to benefit by adjustable rate. You just won't. The benefit is you'll gradually be increased rather than there be a bump. But it's unlikely that you would go down. What other types of loans have you heard that there might be out there if you were a real estate buyer? Say you wanted to buy a distressed property and do some rehab.
Is there a specific loan to allow you to do that, or would you have to just take a conventional loan?
No, well, they have loans. They're called 203K improvement loans, where you would borrow enough money to both buy the property and renovate your house. And this would be good for a person who's buying in a certain demographic region, and the house has a below market value, because although it's it could have it does have some value, but now that it's been distressed, it's greatly diminished. But if you did some rehab to it, you would bring it up to market value, and you could live there. So it gives people an opportunity to buy a distressed property, renovate it, move in, and the nice thing about this loan is that it pays your contractors as they perform certain renovations and complete certain things. The interesting thing about this, though, a 203K type of loan, one is it's underwritten by the FHA, which means you could theoretically put a small amount of money down. You have a certain amount of time to complete the work. As you complete the work, the money will be released to your contractor. And you do have to use a contractor. You can't do a do-it-yourself job on this, because the whole idea is that the government wants to know that a licensed contractor is doing the right job for you, and submitting the proper bills. So you really just can't get a 203K loan and say, I'm going to renovate my own building. You have to hire and pay a licensed contractor. So the problem, of course, with those type of loans are, in order to get the money released to the contractor, and so sometimes you have to submit all sorts of paperwork and permits and sign-offs and proofs and bills, so the contractor could get a little cranky, waiting to be paid after they've submitted a amount of paperwork to your lender. But overall, there is that option where you could buy a distressed property and renovate it. There's not a type of a loan that you could buy a luxury home where you want to make further improvements to it. No, this is the type of loan where you buy a fixer-upper, and you would borrow enough to make the deal and then do the renovations and then ultimately increase the market value, and your loan would probably be a percentage of the of the market value. So in many ways it does work well for certain groups of people and certain areas that that do need some rehabbing. And then I just wanted to touch briefly on this topic of insurance. There is a concept that when you take a loan for less than 20%, the banks feel that this is kind of a risky loan and want you to buy mortgage insurance. Now, mortgage insurance, many times people use that word. It's one of those words that can mean three different things at the same time. The type of mortgage insurance, sometimes known as PMI or MIP, is insurance that will insure the lender that they will not get burnt. So if the lender had to foreclose upon your property and only got a percentage of what they were owed, the insurance people would step in and pay the balance of whatever you were bank was owed. It's not the type of insurance that protects the homeowner. It's the type of insurance that protects the lender. Then, of course, there's other types of insurance that a borrower could buy. That's really for himself. Sometimes they try to sell you on a policy that if something happened to you, your mortgage would be paid off. And while that sounds good, generally most financial experts agree that the type of insurance you want is not that particular type of insurance, that particular type of insurance is focused only on one, reason, and that's if you become disabled or die, that your mortgage would be paid off, as opposed to most, advisors might recommend that you get just regular term insurance. This way, you're not limited to having to pay off the loan if someone, passes away. You will have money to pay the loan, maybe prepay part of it, maybe pay the whole thing. But with regular term, you could really do whatever, you wanted to do with regard to, the property and the loan.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show, and we've looked at a couple of different types of loans that you can get, and for a lot of people, I'm sure they weren't aware that there were so many different types and with different uses for getting a loan on the property. So once again, this has been our Legal Topics episode, and Bob, why don't you take us out?
Well, thank you, and thank our audience. Our legal topic tonight was a variety of loans that may be available, to buy your property, and probably the most popular, or maybe not popular, but the most used is the conventional, where you put down about 20%, borrow 80%, and the bank will just want to make sure that you have enough income to make those monthly payments. So that was the topic of tonight's show. Hope it was helpful, for our audience, understanding that there are, however, different types of loans that, may be suited to their purposes. This is House New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I'm your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge.